The following is a North Carolina Baptist resource. For more, visit ncbaptist.org.
I like to fish from time to time. And what we have discovered is, you know this is true, if you like to fish, if I want to fish for the big fish, that's one way. If I'm going to catch a goldfish in that bowl, that's obviously something totally different. But the key is, we have to know the fish we're fishing for. I believe that most churches are best at reaching certain kinds of fish. Jesus says, come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. But most churches are very adept at fishing for particular kinds of folks. So think about cowboy churches, for example. Jeff Smith and those cowboy churches across the state, they're really good at reaching cowboys. I'm yet to find anyone who rides a motorcycle at a cowboy church. Now, they may be out there, but we have biker churches that specialize in reaching motorcycle riders, so to speak. But Angelelli said something very intriguing that has challenged me through the years. Your church is perfectly designed to reach the people that you're already reaching. Your church is perfectly designed to reach the people that you are already reaching. Because, again, a church has a sweet spot. We know, for example, in church planting, a church planter is most effective at reaching people in a 20-year group. 10 years older than me and 10 years younger than me, but easier for me to reach down than to reach up. We just know that's true because the illustrations he shares in his sermons are the people he enjoys most spending time with. They'll look a whole lot like him. And we know when you teach church planters, you'll be most effective at reaching people like yourselves. We found that to be consistently true. But we know it takes all kinds of churches to reach all kinds of people. One church, as you well know, is just not going to reach everybody, so we need to think through how churches are different. Now, let's look at this church right here. Tell me about the people who go to that church. What are some characteristics of those folks? Let's just bring this one together. What would you say? What's the education level of people who attend that church?
At least a bachelor's.
At least a bachelor's?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Excellent. What about the average age?
A fluent.
A fluent, sure. Average age?
30s.
30s, okay. Tom?
I'd say a little older, maybe.
A little older than 30s, okay. Very good.
Ronnie, they play golf.
They play golf,
yeah.
You're probably right about that. They probably do. I would say some of them either have young kids because of this area right here. Young kids where they're dropping mom and the kids off, or a lot of senior adults, where seniors are going under as well. Would you say they do a traditional, wonderful traditional music or wonderful contemporary music?
I say blended.
Blended, okay. Very good. Yeah, that'd be very true. What about this church? Tell me about the people who go to this church. I was saving a church like that, by the way. What would you say about that church? What are the people like over there?
Very rural.
Farming community.
Rural, older, pardon?
Farming community.
Farming community, perhaps.
Blue collar.
What's that?
Blue collar.
Blue collar, very blue collar. Most, or I should say many, probably have a high school diploma. Some that may not. But indeed, that's a church where everybody knows everybody.
Would you agree with that?
Everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
And there's probably a father patriarch in that church, or mother matriarch. And everybody watches to see how they want to do this, of this and any decision, because that's where everybody else is going. Bottom line, it's interesting what you can tell about people just by looking in the building. An operation reach, what I like to do, my van goes out, I'll tell you about that in a minute. What I like to do is simply go to the churches that in our assigned area and just ask the folks in the church van, tell me about the people who go to this church. And it's amazing all the things they know about people who go there just by looking at the church building. Well, anything wrong with that church? They're just different. It's not right or wrong, they're just different. We can tell the same thing about houses, the kind of people live in a house. My grandmother, grandfather lived in a house, was a whole lot like that one. My wife and I, when we first got married, we lived in a mobile home for several years on the farm. Raz Ralph Gray, this is Reverend Ralph's one. But you know, people drive every kind of cars. But here's what's really interesting, I think we need to think about when it comes to Operation Reach, and really knowing who my neighbors are. Is your church in sync with the people in your community? Is your church in sync with the people in your community? Here's the deal. That church, what is the chance that you'd find that pickup truck in that church parking lot? Not very likely, is it?
No.
Nothing wrong with the person who owns that truck, nothing wrong with the church. Just different. Same thing with a car. You won't find that car in all probability in front of that mobile home. Again, nothing wrong with the owner of either. They're just unique. They're just different. Now, in my opinion, most churches tend to see themselves, their community, as a pancake. But in actuality, their community, their context, is not a pancake, it's more like a waffle. And every divot in that waffle represents a slightly different population cluster. One of those population clusters may be a language group. Another one of those divots in that waffle might be folks that are upper class. You know, they may be certain classes of people. Some of them may be cowboys, and some of them may be motorcycle riders. There may be a lot of wonderful blue-collar workers in two or three of those divots. Now, here's the key. You see, a church needs to identify and understand the people in that divot at that church is best at reaching. It may be 3, 4, or 5 different descriptive population clusters that are in that community that they're really best at reaching. And we want to help them do that even better. Well, here's the deal. What about those divots in that waffle that represent population clusters that the churches that are there are not very good at reaching? That's where we need new mission points to reach them with the gospel and reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is what Operation Reach is really all about. So Operation Reach is a one-day event. Operation Reach is a one-day, all-day event of people discovering. It's an event of pastors and typically one staff member or layperson from every church. So bottom line, the goal is at least two people from every church. People, how we do it, would be there. The morning session is a learning time. We'll spend all morning equipping the pastor or leader from the church to understand how to identify unreached people in the community. In other words, we want to look at the churches that are there and see who they're good at reaching. Then we want to also look at those that are not being reached to where we can begin to articulate and understand how they're different and what we can do, work together, what we can do to reach them with the gospel. In the afternoon, after lunch together there, we break up into church vans like you see over here. And when we get in those church vans, we go out in teams in the community. And we look for those population clusters that no church is present at reaching. Now here's the rule. When the director of missions or pastor, whoever plans the event locally, whenever they send pastors and leaders out, the rule is they cannot go to the piece of the pie where their church is located. We don't do any turfism when we do this. So therefore, they go to a different area. Here we see language work, and Rats will come talk about that in just a few moments, but language work called a laser part of Operation Reach, because they go out and talk to folks and learn about different language groups. He'll tell you about that in a moment. I just said that. Mission points. So what we're looking for, in the morning, we train how you identify unreached population clusters. In the afternoon, you go out in church vans and actually do it. Then about 3:30, everybody comes back together again to the same host location. And each group brings with them, when they come, a list from their church van. You know what? We discovered this population cluster, this population cluster, this population cluster. They come back with a list of places where there's a need for a new mission point. And they come in and share those with the rest of the group. And that's what you see happening here. They're sharing. And we found this at one of the common things I hear at every operation reach is people who say, "You know, I've been living here 20 years. I never knew those folks lived out there. I go by there, you know, once a week, but I didn't know about those folks." The great thing about Operation Reach, it helps people to see what's been there all along. They're just not used to seeing them. I like to say, people see what they are prepared to see. People tend to see what they are prepared to see. And then, therefore, the context determines strategy. When we identify the divots in that waffle, then that's where we begin to develop strategy then to reach them for the Lord Jesus. You know, the other churches that we talked about that are already there that are good at reaching certain folks, we want to have them do that better. But don't go fishing over here in this section of the pond like you do over here, because obviously it's not working to reach those kind of folks. We need a different kind of bait, a different kind of tackle to get the gospel for those kinds of folks. So what will Operation Reach cost you and your association network or church to do? What will it cost me? It costs you nothing. In other words, the Baptist State Convention provides all the expenses for an Operation Reach in your area. It will cost you prayer, it will cost you participation, it will cost planning. And we say that if an association does one, if at least 50% of the number of churches are represented at the event, then we pay for the whole thing ourselves. So it costs the association or network or church absolutely nothing. So anyway, it's something the convention can do to serve you and help you to identify unreached pockets in your community. Now, Ralph Ray is our senior Asian consultant. Ralph's going to come, and he's going to share about the Malaysia portion of Operation Reach, where he works with language groups and helps identify the Asians in his context. We do this for Asian as well as Hispanic context. Ralph's been with the convention for 12 years?
12 years, yeah.
12 years. And he is a very gifted consultant, works with 70 men.
Yeah, 70.
Language groups. Just a phenomenal blessing of the Lord. But we have Ralph leading us in North Carolina in some of our language work. Also, Dr. Eric Cook. Dr. Cook is the Director of Missions of Union Baptist Association. He's a great leader, doing a phenomenal job there in Union Association. We had one of these events this year, earlier this year, in Union Association. So he's going to come after Ralph comes to share to tell us about what God did there and how he did it and the results as men since that time. He doesn't do this. We haven't caught up much, but I had a conversation this week about another new church that's going to be in the room. So I'm excited about that. Ralph, come and share with us, friend.
Thank you, Mark. And so I'll be talking about more on LASER. LASER is more of more focus. So Operation Reach. So LASER is part of Operation Reach, but Operation Reach in general is more of just going out to the community and discovering who's there. But LASER, we have like kind of an assignment of, you know, finding or starting somewhere. So life example in a practical sense. First, my understanding is that it's God who assigned people, you know, wherever they are, wherever we are, it's where God has assigned us. And in North Carolina, God has assigned and God has moved people from different nations. And Operation Reach is one of the tools that God has given us to know who are the nations, who are the language groups, who are the peoples that God has moved here in North Carolina. And so LASER is a tool wherein we use, you know, to discover who are these people that God has brought in North Carolina from different nations, tribes, people, and language. And so what we do is we have a team of ethnic pastors, and whoever wants, you know, to be a part of our team, it's open. But our focus is we start with either going to a, let's say, Chinese restaurant, you know, something that speaks of an ethnic connection. So let's say a grocery store, an Asian grocery store, and or you know, a place that, you know, signifies that, you know, people that goes there are kind of coming, not just local people, but coming from other countries. So we would go there and start talking to people, introducing ourselves, and then asking them if, you know, let's say if we go to a shopping center, you know, we just go talk to some shoppers there and introduce ourselves and ask them, you know, where are you from, you know, or from what country are you, or how long have you lived here, or, you know, what other nationalities have you seen, you know, that shops here in this, you know, shopping center. So we start, you know, we start taking notes of that in our mind, but we put that on paper, you know, after we get out of that place, and, you know, to just kind of remember things that we heard, you know, from there. So that's what happens, let's say, inside a shopping center or in a restaurant. And then let's say if we talk to a Chinese guy, and then we ask, like, you know, how long you've been here? How many Chinese people do you think, you know, lives here in this community? And where do they live? Do they live in a subdivision, or do they live in a, you know, a different, you know, locations in the city? And are there more Chinese restaurants here? Are there a Chinese school here? And so we just kind of, you know, just want to know where are the Chinese people? But also, as we talk to Chinese people, we also ask them, are there other ethnic groups or nationalities that you notice or you see or you're friends with or you work with? And where are they from? And then so we want to maximize our time with that person who is giving us his or her time, engaging us, and try to stay there. And then based on the conversation that we've got, and if he would say, hey, you know what, there's a Pakistani restaurant or there's a Pakistani grocery store there, or I know of a Pakistani guy who runs a restaurant there. So we just kind of follow that, because after we talk to that guy, our team would talk, okay, there's so much information we heard there. Here, where do you think God is leading us, based on these informations? So we discovered that laser or operation reach is really something that, we're discerning where God is leading us. It's God who is leading us, and to go to meet the people that God has brought in that community and to see what God sees in the lives of those people, so we can, as a church or as a team, we can bring our recommendation, as just Mark said, in the afternoon, what we see, what we have heard, who are the people that we have discovered as we have visited restaurants. And sometimes we also visited places of worship, Islamic centers, and we've talked to imams, and they're very accommodating. They would give us informations, based on what we ask, and they even let us get inside their mosque and show us what's this, what's that, what's the purpose of this. And so those are things that we experience. So I'd like to close with this. In doing Operation Reach 9 years ago in High Point, with some other churches in the High Point area, with Piedmont Baptist Association, when our team went out, we were led by the Lord to discover that there are 2,000 Pakistani people who live in High Point. Us, a team, who went there, we were shocked because, we didn't realize there's 2,000 Pakistani people. And then then the guy led us to a grocery store owned by a Pakistani guy. And so we went there, we talked to the owner, and he said that I'm the first Pakistani here. And then, oh, really? And then so we talked to Atta, that's his name, and then Atta gave us some information that he came here as a student, he was the only Pakistani, and now there's 2,000 Pakistanis. And then he gave us more information, spent time with him, and in fact, we asked him how we can pray for him, and we prayed for him. They're open for prayer. But anyway, that information led us to come back in the afternoon and share with a group. There's 2,000 Pakistanis here in High Point, and then something you can pray for. So we recommend for you to consider as an association, as churches here, to pray and then strategize. So what happened was they start praying, and Lord, by God's will, 3 years after that, I got connected with a Pakistani church planter who got married to a Pakistani girl in New York and moved to New York from Pakistan. And then a few weeks after that, we got connected. And then by God's grace, God brought them here. And then the association in Greensboro, received them and then connected them with a church that had been praying for 3 years, to reach the Pakistanis in their area. And then that church become the partner, main partner church of the Pakistani church planter. And then, they started reaching out the Pakistanis in High Point area. And so this pastor just also started another church in Kerry, and they launched a Urdu-speaking church or Pakistani church in Kerry a few weeks ago. And so we got two groups of Pakistani church that we're starting now in North Carolina as a result of that. So that, praise God for how he used laser and Operation Reach. Thank you.
Well, my name's Eric Cook. I am the Director of Missions at the Union Baptist Association. Just because I'm getting behind this podium doesn't mean anything. You just want to hold my nose. So, I appreciate y'all coming out this morning. I have been the director of missions at the Union Baptist Association since January 2016. And when I came to the position, I had to ask myself the question, what is the purpose of the association? Why do we exist? And bottom line is, I'd come up with a statement, and the statement was this. Our vision statement was to assist churches in advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Y'all out there?
Mm-hmm.
To assist the churches in advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I believe this, that the greatest witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ on an ongoing basis is a local church. Be it 150 years old or be it brand spanking new. And so we must be about, as an association, helping churches advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I looked at many different ways of doing that. And some worked, some didn't. I met Mark. And he said, Eric, you know what? We need to take a look at doing an operation reach at your location because these are the things that it will allow you to do. And I said, okay, that sounds pretty good. And I began to think about it, pray about it. We put together a time, and in February, that's exactly what we did. And I was surprised that on that day, I had 50-plus leaders and pastors from our churches assemble. We began to gather together and share with them the makeup of our county and the influx of folks from all over the world. We are right against Mecklenburg County, and if you take a look at the demographics of Mecklenburg County, you would imagine that the world literally has come to us, and that's spilled over into our county. We're a bedroom community of Mecklenburg. We have over 30 different language groups that are spoken in our own county. And so that day we shared a lot of that information. We not only shared that, but we shared how there's a connector road that's being built in our location that's going to open up this month. It's been being built since like 1847, somewhere in there. But that road is going to carry a lot of beach traffic and a lot of tractor trailers through there. It's going to also bring more people into our county. Right now, the churches in our association, we're behind the curve as far as planting churches and reaching the people that are coming. 225,000 people live in our county. We have maybe 30,000 people that attend our Southern Baptist churches. And so there are people from all over the world that don't know, that have come to our county, that don't know Christ as Lord and Savior. And there's people that have lived there all their life that don't know Christ as Lord and Savior. So we see the great need of planting churches. And I thought, how do I communicate that with pastors? How do I impart that to them? Now, I recognize that one of the strongest ways to be able to do something like that and to being a director of missions was face-to-face. That's always the best way to conduct anything. So I challenged our guys to come. They came that day. We shared all that information about the makeup of our county, what we're going to look like down the road, what we look like now. And then we loaded up on vans, which was the part where I think it kind of meshed for guys who kind of came into it, weren't sure what was going on. We loaded them up on vans. We sent them to a corner of the county to do a little vision tour, if you will. We challenged them to ask questions about the areas that they were going to. What's the gospel witness look like? Who are the people are here? Where do they work? What, and all those things that Mark showed you earlier. And before all this happened, I began to pray. I said, Lord, I want to see our churches succeed for your glory. I want to see the name of Jesus Christ proclaimed in all the earth and in Union County where you placed us. And on one of those buses, we had one of our churches, one of the guys that were there, they went to a location and they were moved by what they saw. There wasn't a gospel witness in that area, though there were many churches around there. There were people that were unchurched or maybe possibly part of church but just fell out of church. You know, all different degrees of people. And these guys came to me and they said, Eric, you know, we really feel impressed to do something and we're not sure exactly what that is. Well, and 3 days later, I got a call from a guy by the name of Quintel Hill. He's here today. Welcome, Quintel. In fact, he served in one of our churches years ago, was a youth pastor. The Lord called him to go to Georgia and to serve down there. He was down there for several years. He called me and said, Eric, I believe that the Lord wants me to come back and plant a church in Union County. A multi-ethnic church, a multiply community church. He said, and we talked, and we did. And I began to think about this church that came to Operation Reach and got on a van and saw the need, and the Holy Spirit moved on the staff that was on that van, and they said, we want to do something, we're not sure what. I said, well, I think I know what it is. And I put these guys together around the table. And when their pastor began to weep, You weren't there, Quintel. I first met with that church, and I gave him your resume, and I showed him all your accolades and who you were. Then I flipped it over on the back and showed him your picture. And the pastor began to weep. He was in a biker gang for years. He was as racist as could be. Came to know Christ as Lord and Savior, changed and transformed his life. And then we met with Quintel. Remember that Quintel conversation? He said, years ago, I would have never given you time, and they wouldn't even talk to you. God put them together. And I believe you're attending church out there right now, right?
We're actually going hunting together.
They're partnering together right now so that Multiply Community Church can reach a demographic of people that's not being reached at this time. There are affinity churches in our association. We've got cowboy churches. We've got motorcycle churches. Hey, we got blue collar churches. We've got white collar churches. We've got redneck churches. We got golf churches. Every church is an affinity church. Everyone is. It's got its own makeup. So Multiply Community Church is going to hit an ethnic group, and it was Operation Reach that allowed us to see that. A lot of those guys came to me afterwards, and it was more than just planting churches. One of the pastors said to me, he said, Eric, I took the demographics material that you gave to us, and that was given to every pastor when they left, a demographics of their area. And he said, I took that, and I was astounded by what I saw. So when I began to vision cast at my church, I incorporated that into my vision casting for our folks so that we would do a better job of getting the gospel into all the earth around the people that live around us. So it's a great opportunity. It was something that I'm glad that we did. We're still reaping the benefits of that. There's a second church that's come to talk to me about that here just recently about we would love to sit down stakes, and we would love to start a church so that we can reach folks for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, every time I drive to 485 to go to Hickory to see my parents, I have to drive up Highway 218, which is a really highly trafficked road, which takes a lot of folks to the beach. And there's a group out there on Saturdays and Sundays from India. They play cricket. They actually bought the land, some acreage there, so that they could make a field to play cricket. And every time I drive past them, I tell my wife this story. I said, those guys are from India. And I said, if you're from India, I said, you probably, or if you play cricket, I said, you probably speak English, you play cricket, you drink tea, and you've probably driven around roundabouts at some point because your country was colonized by the Brits. You find that if you travel to Kenya or India or places like that. And I thought, how can we reach those folks? Because next to one of the churches that's just down the road, they're building a Sikh or a Hindu temple, one, I'm not sure which. They're building a Hindu temple in our neighborhood. What can we do about it? Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what you can do about it. And so I thought, what we ought to do is go to those folks, go out for a Saturday and just sit in chairs and watch them play cricket and get to talk to them and make some friends out of them and say, you mind if we come back next Saturday and watch y'all play cricket? And get some baseball players who know how to play and go learn how to play cricket and come up with a team and play them in some cricket and eat some hot dogs or whatever. You know, if they don't eat hot dogs, eat their food, whatever we want to do. Make friends out of them. Win them to Christ. That's the best way to go about that. Mark, thank you for Operation Reach. It has that day still carries on for us. It opened up, it opened up the eyes of many of our pastors to a demographic that they had not seen before. Many of them came back. We saw 46 areas in our county that needed a gospel witness. And there's a lot of work to do, but to see the leadership embrace that and recognize, just instead of their little corner of the pie, there's so much more out there, I think was eye-opening and revolutionary for many of them. And I praise you. Praise God for that. And I appreciate you, Brother Mark, for bringing and sharing that with us in our county.
Thanks so much, Brother Eric and Brother Ralph. Appreciate your sharing. It is interesting to watch how people begin to see differently, having gone through Operation Reach, just to understand the community better. They've been there all along. I mentioned earlier, we see what we are prepared to see. Some time ago, I'll assign a convention vehicle. They assigned me a Crown Vic to drive. Crown Victoria, and I drove that several years. And I thought when I got that car, when they assigned that to me, I thought, you know, I'm the only man in the triangle who has one of these Crown Victorias. But when I got the Crown Victoria, it seemed like every stoplight, there's another Crown Victoria, that's another Crown Victoria. They're all over the place. I just never saw them.
They were there. We see what we are prepared to see in Jesus, I believe, all my heart. As Ralph and Eric talked about, wants to help us to open our eyes to see what he sees, to see the lostness, so we can figure out ways to get the gospel to those folks who need it so desperately. Now, we've all been talking for a while, but we would love to hear your questions, comments, and anything about Operation Reach that may be of help to you. What questions or comments might you have for any of us? Tiffany Ramos is back here. She has facilitated one of these events as well. What questions or comments do you have?
I guess, I mean, for me, I know that it's, you know, being new in the, as a senior pastor, I mean, that's, it, things like this, you know, interest me a lot, because I don't, you know, plus I don't know the area, and the church came into wanted me to do, they asked me to come in and do different stuff they've always done, because the previous pastor was there for 38 years, and so now they're, you know, of course, they're a big shoes to fill being there for 38 years, but want to do something different. They want to reach other people, and so this is you know, for me, it's just one of the things that I'm kind of interested in. The association, I guess, for us is older, so I guess my question would be, and we don't have a director mission. They haven't had one for years because they can only pay them part time, so they really haven't had one. And, but they've got a moderator and that kind of stuff, so I guess it would probably work out with that. But yeah, I know you said you go to individual churches. Would it work if you just, I guess, if you were able to get a couple churches involved in it and not necessarily the whole? Because I think this, I'm not sure, but I think their association is mostly the Ramble County, which is a pretty good-sized county anyway. Yeah. And so I wasn't sure. How does that work as far as when you go to different areas? Because you're just basically scouting the area out for that other church. Is that correct? Is that how it works? You're going to some other area, and then you give that information back to that church that actually is in that area. Is that what the premise behind it is?
Almost exactly. Generally speaking, let me tell you the history of what got us to a church partnership. Eric did it as an association.
Right.
That's an ideal way to do it in so many ways. If you have leadership, GOM moderator or somebody who will drive that ship.
Right.
I had a guy who asked to meet with me. He's between Sanford and Raleigh, I think it was, off number one, Highway 1. And he was in he's by your reach, yeah, but he was passionate about reaching people with the gospel. Right. And he got his old car dealership, leased it, and they were just reaching people for Jesus like crazy. So he contacted me and wanted to do an Operation Reach. Well, I thought he meant he was representing the association county. Well, I talked to the director of missions about it, due diligence, and he said, no, this is not our event. So I had to go back to him and say, I'm sorry, my policy, we can't do this. But that got over my eyes to see. Sometimes it may not be the whole association that's ready for this, but if the individual churches, maybe 10, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys, or maybe a dozen, or even 2 dozen guys that you would invite in and say, would you give me a day? And let's talk together about what our community looks like, and maybe we can work together to identify unreached population clusters that our church, we can have our individual churches to reach as we're best at reaching, but then maybe we work together to partner in something for these language groups or other unreached population clusters. Yeah, we will work through a church directly, and we facilitate that alongside you. My suggestion would be, you want it in driving distance where you can go and come back, obviously. We had one in Greensboro. The year the Southern Baptist Convention came to Greensboro, but we didn't do it for all of different county.
Right.
We did one for Greensboro. Then several years later, as Ralph mentioned earlier in High Point, we came back and just one for the southwestern part of Gifford County, which is High Point. So I would urge Tim, you to think through and identify, you know, in our church, what is the pocket here that we can best fish in? If you got several other guys, I would take the different guys that you invited from the county or association to get involved with you. I would look at each of those areas, and I would let that kind of draw the radius, if you will, to identify kind of the area we want to target for that day. Usually the director of missions or pastor divides the piece of pie up geographically, yeah, and then assigns folks to the different areas, so they won't be in their own area.
Right.
Guys, you have a comment about that question?
What you could do is, do you still have meetings that you go
to? They do, yeah. The moderator basically is almost, I guess, is I guess, is in charge. I mean, since, you know, they have a secretary that's there at the association office, and the moderator, and I guess the associate moderator are the ones that kind of...
Well, if you're having a meeting, what you can consider, if you want to see something like that happen in your association, is during that meeting, you can actually make a motion that you consider to have an operation reach in your county, and if they say yes, you put together a leadership team,
right.
Contact Mark, and that leadership team of some pastors, you know, 4 or 5 pastors can put that together with, because it's a turnkey operation.
Right.
There's some pre-planning that needs to go ahead, but Mark jumps out on the table and says, here it is. And so it's a doable thing. It was, for our churches as a whole, it was very eye-opening for a lot of our churches. They came back and they said, I didn't realize that this group of people were living within 10 miles of our church. Or they came back and many of them were just broken, that they weren't reaching the people that were within driving distance. It was very odd.
Yeah.
And I think it's a beneficial day. It not only does that, but it drives pastors together. Fellowship, the benefit from that can't be overstated. When we cooperate together, man, we always do better.
Yeah.
And so it fostered that as well too. Plus we got to eat. And it's still from that day. We did it in February. You know, now we're seeing churches being planted. We're seeing more guys cooperating together just from that one event. So I would say bring it up in your session and vote on.
Yeah, they just had the meeting, so I can't be there. But I'm going to talk to the moderator because I made a relationship thing, and we had a last relationship thing, which was a month ago. So I've got to get with him and take this back to him. So I think it's
it's a fruitful, bro.
I hope this, and that's what I'm looking for, because I'm being new in the community, I don't know it. I barely even know my church people, but I see the lostness in the community within 5 miles of of where our church is, and so that's one reason why I'm sitting here.
I think something to consider too that could potentially come out of that is the privilege you have to partner with the church plants or other churches that may be struggling. It energizes a lot of local churches to get off their own turf and go help another church.
Yeah.
And it blesses them. For instance, with Quintel, what's going on there? It's blessing the church that's partnering with him and others that are going to do that as well too. So you can become a partnering church with a church that's struggling or a church plant in your area and bless your own church in the process.
Okay.
Great word. Matter of fact, if I remember correctly, Quintel's church, that was initiated in a conversation in one of those vans that went out.
Yes,
I remember that.
Yeah.
Because I remember somebody came back talking about that at Quintel.
Because Utah Baptist Church, those guys came back looking, the Lord really impressed on them, they needed to do something, and that something was to partner with the church plant.
Yeah. It was phenomenal. You don't know another idea, Tim, if you wanted to. If you want to set a luncheon sometime, and you personally invite guys that you think are passionate about reaching their community the gospel, and you want to invite them in for a luncheon of some sort, if you'll pull that together, moderately priced place, I'll pay for lunch that day for everybody. I'll be willing to come in, or some of our staff come in, just to be with everybody and say, guys, something kind of like this. Here's how this works. Christ be a benefit, to you. I think it also affirms, and Eric alluded to this as well, I think it also affirms the fact that they need to think through who they are best at reaching, so they can do that better and more, as opposed to trying to reach everybody and then reaching, as many of our churches, reaching nobody, So find out the fish you're best fishing for, that you all do that better. Now, I know that you wouldn't be intimidated then by a new church coming in over here, a mission point, because you see those folks are a little different than you. They're not going to come to church over here. If they were, they would already come.
Yeah.
But they're not. So anyway, I'd be happy that'd be helpful. If your friends are meeting there with the pastors, or in the moderator, put a list together. Yeah. One other question I'd like to ask you.
Yeah.
The gentleman who you're following, I don't think you use that term. The pastor that you follow.
Oh, he's retired.
Is he still in the church community?
He's in the community. And he's actually done a really, he decided he's going to step back and not go to church there and give him time, to get involved. And I've talked with him. I just did a funeral with him last week together, one of the members. But he's still there. In the community. He told me anytime I need to talk to him, just kind of sit down and,
So good.
So, which I really appreciate that. Because he knows the community. He knows it really well. So, that's good.
Well, I wonder if he has some relational capital with some of the other pastors that you and he together perhaps could invite some guys to lunch and to learn about this as an opportunity. Yes, sir. That's good. Yeah. I appreciate what Eric said about the partnering with other churches. We used to talk about three levels of partnership. That was the support partner. Let me start the other end. There's a primary partner. We used to call that the mother church. That's a church that really takes responsibility for planting over here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they make sure the planters call. They send volunteers. They put resources into it. They're heavily involved as a church. We're going to plant a church over there in that other community. Two or three divots in that waffle. Second layer is what we call cluster partners. That's where you have three, four, five, or six churches working together to plant a new church over there, like Eric talked about. Then the third level of partnership is what we call support partner. Someone who says, well, we're not ready to be a mother church or a primary partner church, or we really don't want to be a part of the cluster, but if y'all want to have a block party, we'll pay for the hot dogs and the hamburgers and provide the grill. We'll provide volunteer cooks so y'all can just mingle with people. You all work in by the community, and it's kind of a one-time kind of a gift kind of thing, the support partner. So anyway, people can obviously enter at any level, so that kind of gives them an opportunity to have some choices of how to do. So thank you for being here today. Thank you, Eric and Ralph.
Thank you.
Here today and thank you.